As we enter into a time of prayer this morning, I want to call your attention to the prayer quilt. On your way out of the sanctuary, please stop, tie a knot, say a prayer, sign the card. Our church is keeping her in their thoughts and prayers. Let her know that she's loved. Now join me in an attitude of prayer. Christ Jesus, before ascending into heaven, you promised to send the Holy Spirit to your apostles and disciples. Grant that the same Spirit may perfect in our lives the work of your grace and your love. God our Father, by raising Christ your Son, you conquered the power of death and opened for us the way to eternal life. Let our celebration today raise us up and renew our lives by the Spirit that is within us. We ask for your forgiveness, Lord, when we forget the power that lies within and trust instead upon our human strength. Remind us of that glorious day when your Spirit transformed the lives of those who hid in fear into men of power. Renew these hearts which have grown cold with flames of fire, as on that Pentecost, that this might be the church that you desire. We come before you this morning to praise you, to give you thanks, to feel your love. We give praise and thanks for those that teach us, those that help us to learn to live as Jesus lived. We pray for those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help, those that are struggling at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships, struggling with health issues, those that have lost loved ones, and those that are struggling with financial burdens. In their time of need, we want them to know that your love is always there for them. We want them to know of your blessings, your strength, your love, and your hope. We thank you for the blessing that you have given to us, our friends, our family, our neighbors. Help us to love them as you do, to care for each other, to show your love to those that need it, especially those that need your love the most, the ones that don't know your love yet, the ones that don't know yet that your love is there for them, the ones that don't know yet that they need you. Father, we pray for all in need in our communities, in our state, across the nation, and across the world that have suffered due to conflicts going on in our lives and near and far from our homes. We pray for our leaders that they may feel your guidance so that the decisions that they make be tempered with your love. We pray that they have the strength to make the decisions that will give us hope. We pray that they feel your love and it fills their hearts. Now we share with you our prayers, our praises, and our concerns as we come to you in these moments of silent prayer and meditation. Almighty God, who on this day did open the way of eternal life to every race and nation by the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, we stand before you, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share in the name of your holy and resurrected Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Luke. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, Why don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks, Bruce. So 1989, my wife and I moved from Grand Rapids to Brighton. I was currently in public accounting at the time, driving an hour all the way to Detroit, and that was if I left early, 6 a.m. So I had to get up early to make sure that I made it in by 7, so I didn't get caught in a two-hour rush hour drive. Think that's easy? Sue had to get the kids up, get them ready for school, get them off to preschool while she was working 12-hour shifts. In addition to that, we had to make sure that we had time to talk to friends, to talk to family, to come to church. We did this every single day. And then we got up in the morning and repeated it. Please join me in prayer. Take my words and speak through them. Take our ears and hear through them. Make us become on fire with your Holy Spirit. Amen. So I promise I won't talk that fast through the whole thing, but that's what it feels like some days, doesn't it? So we're going through the art of neighboring. Last week, the challenge was the block map. And I'll get to that in just a moment. When you look at all these words about time, they're always in front of us. Schedule, month, eternity's up there. And we have to deal with that. And so as we deal with the challenge of getting to know our neighbors, living out one of the two great commandments, loving our neighbor as ourselves, we have to be intentional. What if Christ meant get to know your actual neighbors? So last week we got a block map. Mine's up here. If anyone doesn't have it, if you raise your hand, the ushers actually have some blank ones, or you can go online and just type in the Art of Neighboring block map, and you can get one that way. So the center is your house, or my house in this instance, and you can see I had most of the blocks filled in. The challenge last week was to fill in the rest of those blocks. How did you do? Anyone get them all filled in that wasn't full? If you're already full, you're an overachiever. But how many people intentionally went out and filled out the rest? Okay, we have some that did it. Good job. And that's, you know, we're working it, right? Just so you know, my block now, I have a current version, is full. And there are ways to do this. And here's the beauty of it. I didn't actually talk to my neighbors. I didn't have to do that. See, I used to work in the tax field, in the property tax arena, and there are websites out there that the assessors have where you can go online and find out the names of the people who own the houses in your neighborhood. So you don't really have to talk to them. By the way, it doesn't count. Even though I filled in the boxes, I know that the yellow cottage, which I didn't know before, is Ron and Sherry. That's who owns it. And then at the point, this is a couple that just moved in a couple months ago, so it's really not my fault that I don't know their names, although Sue did. But Madhu and Chris live on that. So that was the goal this past week. Next week, Pastor Sherry's going to be preaching on another roadblock to neighboring, fear. This week, we're going to talk about the time barrier, because we all know we don't have enough time. We're too busy. So in the book that this comes from, The Art of Neighboring, Small Steps to Building Genuine Relationships Right Outside Your Door, Jay Pathak and Dave Runyon walk through three lies that we all have to deal with that prevent us from being good neighbors. The first lie, things will settle down someday. Do we have any retired people who would dispute that claim? I often hear men with tools when we meet on Tuesday morning, they're like, I don't know how I had time for work. They don't settle down. Okay, they'll settle down when the kids get into school. No. All right, it'll be better when one of them's driving and I don't have to worry about how they get to school. No. Then they get bigger. Oh, they'll move out. I'll become an empty nester. No. They're not going to settle down. And actually, in their book, I'll just share what they say. There's only two ways things settle down. When you die, or when you intentionally focus on what's important. So that's lie number one. Lie number two, more will be enough. For someone my age, we remember when there were, you know, the first cell phones were bags. And then they got smaller. And, oh, I'll have so much more time when I can work during that hour commute. Yeah, right. Or I won't have to vacuum. They make this really cool thing. Have you seen these? It's a robot. You put it on the ground, and it vacuums most of your house. I understand it has trouble with stairs and corners. So, you know, or it'll all be better when I get that really cool dishwasher that sanitizes as well. And so it's always more, more, more. It never is enough. Lie number three, everybody lives like this, right? I'm not the only one. It's not my fault. This is how we're programmed. This is the way we are now. We have to do more. Well, when we get into today's message, I'm going to be sharing with you somebody who didn't live that way. So, those are the three lies that we have to deal with. And how do we get beyond them? It is being intentional. And I'll admit it, I'm a bit of a hypocrite about this. I'm doing better, and I am committed to it. I'm actually going to follow the teachings of another great master, Yoda, and I will do or do not. There is no try. So I'm not going to try to do it. I am going to do it. I'm committed to do it. And I want you to join me on that. Be intentional. So, how do you handle this when you have so many things going on and so many friends? Well, I was meeting with one of our congregation members, Gary Pressey, wonderful man. And Gary said to me, Bob, I'm thinking about adding you to my friends list. And he didn't mean on Facebook. He meant on his actual friend list. What he explained, though, was in order to do that, he would have to call one of his other friends and let them know that they were no longer on the list. I'm going to make this clear, he was joking. However, I did get him to agree because I brought him a Mounds bar. He asked me to bring him a Mounds bar, so I brought him a Mounds bar. And he did agree to create a waiting list. And I'm at the top of that. Unless he meets any one of you and I get knocked down a couple notches. So that's, you know, there are little tools we can use. Your life is full. So that's what we're dealing with. How do you have a little bit more? And how do you deal with the challenge that we have for this next week? Last week was to fill out that block map as best you could. This week, and it's radical, so get ready for it, I want us to spend at least an hour in our front yard. And if you don't have a front yard, that's no excuse. You have a community area. You can walk around your neighborhood. You can listen to other people and get to know their stories. That's your challenge. That's our challenge this week, to get out into our community, to walk around and get to know our actual neighbors. And what you're doing there is you're giving up the good, the wonderful things you have at home, your family, your comfort, and you're going out and finding the great, the amazing thing that's out there when you love your neighbor as yourself. Which brings us to today's lesson out of the Gospel of Luke. We have three main characters, Mary, Jesus, and Martha. Chris, I told you to take that one out. What happened was, I do have an excuse. When I typed in Martha, Martha, as Jesus said when he was rebuking her, it auto-corrected and spell-checked it to Marsha, 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 and I wound up with Marsha Brady. So, all right, let's go to, there it is. All right, so in this painting, you can see Jesus, Martha, and Mary. Think back to the scripture that was read just a few minutes ago. What was Martha doing? I want to hear answers. I hear cooking. What else? Cleaning. Cleaning. What? Housework. Hosting. Okay. The amazing thing is we always go to cleaning and cooking. Here's what the scripture actually says. I'm going to read it to you. She's not preparing a meal. She was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Martha was getting her home ready. She was making sure that it was prepared for the worship, quote unquote, that was about to take place because Jesus was in her home. Now, Martha gets a bit of a bum rap here. And so I want to take a moment and spend just some time with Martha. And as Gus Portokalis from My Big Fat Greek Wedding 1 and 2 pointed out, give me a word, any word, and I can show you the root of that word is Greek. Well, the main word in what Martha is doing is actually the root of the word deacon. Which, by the way, if you didn't know this, deacons in the United Methodist Church are celebrating their 20th anniversary of ordination. So, take a moment. Loretta's in the back. Deacon Loretta. 20 years. Now, you haven't been a deacon for 20 years. But we're celebrating an anniversary as a church of deacon order. So, say happy anniversary to Deacon Loretta. Call Deacon Sue Patu, who was sent from this church and now serves CAS, Community Social Services. It's a very exciting day. But it comes from the word diakonia, which means service. So there you go. That's how it works. Martha was serving. So what was Mary doing? Anybody? Listening, worshiping, what was that? Praying. She's at the feet of the Master, listening to his teachings and his stories. Now, there's a few radical things going on in this short scripture, and Luke records them for us. First of all, it tells us that Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. Well, first of all, women didn't welcome men into their homes. Heck, except for in very rare circumstances, women didn't own homes. So here we have Martha welcoming Jesus, preparing her home, welcoming him in, serving him. And then we have Mary, yet another woman, taking the place at the feet of Jesus, as if she was one of his disciples, because that's what she was. So throughout this story, you're hearing of radical behavior. And when you think about what Jesus said to Martha, he didn't tell her what she was doing was wrong. What he told her is that Mary had chosen something better, and it would not be taken away from her. So, Mary purposely sat at Jesus' feet, even though she should have been helping. And we deal with the same thing. How do we make sure we have enough time to be intentional, to do those things? So there's always solutions out there when you surf the web. This, for those of you familiar with the Harry Potter series, Hermione Granger's Time Turner. This allowed her to go back in time and do more homework. Why somebody would choose to do that if they got to go back in time is beyond me. And she was able to get more done. So there's a solution for us. In fact, you can find these on the internet. They sell them, and then you just spin it and you go back in time. One solution. Not a good one, but a solution nonetheless. Another solution, and this is for us car people, a modified DeLorean. All you need to go is how fast? 88 miles an hour, and you will go back in time. These are not good solutions. They're fun to talk about, they're fun to watch in the movies, but it doesn't get it done. So, how do you make sure that you spend your time in the right way and that you put priorities in front of you? Because if you don't, there'll come a time where something else does. Back in January 2014, our son Brian underwent a common everyday medical procedure. In fact, they advertise it on the radio. It didn't go well. In fact, it went as bad as it could go. Almost. The greatest complication of the procedure is that they burn a hole in your esophagus, which is what happened to Brian. And on January 31st, 2014, he underwent emergency surgery to remove his esophagus. And hopefully, he would survive. The infection would clear up through much work. And eventually, they would put him back together. If you want to slow down, I hope you never have to go through this, because suddenly, all the things that were important and all the things that were in front of us that took our time didn't matter anymore. We had one priority. And what we also found was there are so many people living the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. Up on the screen is just some of the names. Because the world didn't stop turning. Sue didn't leave the hospital for at least 5 days. One night when Katie and I came back home, our driveway was plowed. There had been a blizzard. One of our neighbors did it. Our family, our friends, they were there for us. This congregation prayed without ceasing. My coworkers shut off my email and would not allow them to come through because they were going to take care of it. Sue worked and works in the hospital where Brian was cared for. Her coworkers covered every one of her shifts and gave her someone to go down and talk to during the most difficult times. This congregation's prayers, and I'll tell you, the food, there was so much food on our front porch that our neighbor Sue would bring into our house for us that she ended up storing it at her house because it didn't all fit in our refrigerator. You don't realize what you have in your neighbors until you're in crisis. And I'm telling you not to wait for that crisis. Be intentional. Go out. Now, we're doing everything we can to give back because not to repay or because we have to, but because it's one of the commandments that Christ gave us, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so as we're dealing with the challenge this week, and we get home from work, we drive into the garage, we run into the house, and we sit out on the deck, we get dinner done, we're enjoying ourselves, I'm asking that we take a different approach. The challenge this week is to not stay inside, not hide out back, on the beautiful deck, I'm asking you to step outside. I'm asking you to go into the front yard. Go into your community. I have to do it. We can do this. Don't sit on the in the backs. Get out on the front porch. Walk around. These people are a lot like us, a lot like me, which is scary. All right. I wanted this slide to be up here because there's numbers, people. I'm one of them. What's the number on the top? All right. I guess I should be more specific. I know what the number is. It's 10,080. What does it represent? No, not the population of Brighton. But a good guess. Close. I heard hours. It is time. That is the number of minutes in a week. Okay, that's a big number. What's the number underneath it?
Hours.
Ah, very good. You guys are all right. Fantastic. Hours in a week. 168 hours. And we're being challenged to go out and spend how many hours? One. And if you're already doing it, let's make it one additional, because, you know, overachievers need a goal too. That last thing, that last number is a percentage. It's 0.6%. That's how much time we're talking about out of your week to spend time with our neighbors and get to know them better and love our neighbors as ourselves. That's what we're commanded to do. We know all the excuses. We're good at them. I've got other things going on. I have all this wonderful, and by the way, walking around your neighborhood with your face in a screen doesn't count. Because we all have these distractions, these time wasters, cat videos, one of my favorites. You know, after 12, I'm tired. But those are things that, just get them out of the way. You know, set it down. And I learned this, and having my granddaughter up here today, and my grandson Luke sitting up here being an acolyte, and the other ones in the nursery, Carson, what this has shown me is we have to decide priorities. And when they're over, Luke used to be this big. And he's this big, and he's going to be this big. And if I'm not intentional spending time with them, how am I ever going to be intentional spending time with my neighbors? So we have to set those things aside and focus on what is truly important, what Christ tells us to do, which is to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now go. Amen.